Father, we just bow this evening. In thy presence, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you said, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you're in the midst and not to bless, Lord. Lord, we're glad for the songs of Zion. We're glad for this song we're singing this evening, Lord. Had to be the blood. Lord, we know there was no redemption outside of blood. Lord, we know the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. And Father God, we thank you this evening for that precious blood, atoning blood. Lord, the precious blood, the only blood, that there's salvation, Lord, for the cleansing power of it this evening, Lord, we thank you. And oh God, we pleaded this evening. We pleaded on ourselves. We pleaded over the lives of our loved ones. We pleaded, Father, this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray, let thy Holy Ghost move in our hearts this evening. Oh God, give wisdom for the preaching of thy word. Oh Father God, move by thy power. Lord, move in our hearts this evening. Oh God, thou knowest the need of every heart in this service this evening. And Lord, thou knowest, oh God, all anxiety, all fear, all things you laid captivity at the place called Calvary. And Lord, you rose victorious over them. Now we pray, Father, that the leaf people this evening, oh God, we cast down anxiety. We cast down every spirit of fear. We cast down everything that will lift up his head against thy people this evening. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we take authority over the devil and over his works. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Quicken thy word to our hearts this evening. And we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for we ask this evening. In the name of our Lord and Savior, amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated a minute or two before we read God's word. Amen. Praise the Lord for mercy. You know, I once said, you know, if you preach a thing or if you believe a thing, you can be well sure that the devil will make you prove it. And I tell you this evening, God's in control. God's in control. And God is able. You know, the psalmist said that he was able to furnish a table in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in the wilderness, but he said that God was able to furnish a table in the wilderness. And God's able to meet your need this evening. I don't care what it is, but God's able to meet it. He's able to do, I often quote it, and I'm going to quote it this evening, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can even ask or that you can even think. So God's able to do anything. It doesn't matter. There's nothing too hard for God. Jeremiah, when he prayed, he said, "Ah, Lord God, is there anything too hard for you?" There wasn't. There's nothing too hard for God. All things are possible. All things are possible with God. You know something else? All things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible this evening. There's nothing impossible to God. But all things are possible with God. Now, I'm going to give a wee bit of a testimony. I'm not going to quit a whole lot of stuff. But I want to say, some weeks back there, I was very ill. But you know, I thank God for your prayers. I want to thank you for praying. And I want to thank how God answers prayer. And they took me into Craig Allen Hospital. They said I would need an emergency operation. And they done one or two tests on me. And then when they done the test, they said they would have to get me ready for an operation. So they get you to sign a wee paper, so I signed the paper and they said to me, was I happy enough? Well, I said, if that's what it has to be, that's what it has to be. But you know, whenever they done one of these tests, they said they'd have to wait half an hour, 40 minutes, and they would do the result of it. So they took me up into the room, they took me up into the place where there was all people waiting, and they took me up into it, and by this time the pain had eased somewhat. Now I was in real pain. It's hard to describe to you. I was in real pain. And my wife said to me, you're freezing. And I says, I couldn't be freezing for I'm burning hot. Well, she said, you're very calm. Well, besides that there, but I was in anyway, and when I was lying on the trolley waiting for the pot, I was there. I was singing that. I know it is the blood.
Amen.
There was no words coming out. But inside I was singing it. I know it was the blood. One day when I was lost, mm-hmm. he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. It's the blood this evening. There's no redemption outside of blood. There's no wafer. There's no nothing. There's no good works. You know, a Christian ought to have good works. A Christian's life ought to be marked by good works. But good works will not save you. And you could have all the good works in the world and not be saved. I not Catholic people, and boy, I tell you, if you go to works, they'd put you to shame. They had good works. But works doesn't save. You know, it's grace on grace alone. Amen. It's a total grace. Man can do nothing to earn salvation. Not one thing. But that salvation's already been paid for. And it was paid at that place called Calvary. It was paid from the foundations of the world, because God knew them that were his, and God knew who would come, and God knew who's still going to come. God knows all them things on salvation, has the price for salvation is paid. The price to get into the holiest of holies and to come in before the presence of a holy God, that price was paid at the place called Calvary. And if you want tonight, you can come, as simple as that. It's as easy as that. Come. You know, the writer over in, the prophet over in Isaiah said, come as you are. Come, buy bread without money. You don't need money for this bread. Jesus said to the disciples, this is the bread that's coming down from heaven. And that bread tonight's free. Amen. It's free bread tonight. It's free. But anyhow, get on with. They said to me, I would need an emergency operation. But Tommy and Samuel had prayed for me before I left the house. And that was all right anyway. Something kept saying to me, you'll die. But I'm not really afraid of dying. I have no fear of dying. And that's the main thing. I don't care. Let it be sooner, let it be later. But I have no fear of dying. But I want to say this tonight. God's able to do far more than we can imagine or comprehend. He's able to do it. And you know, those two surgeons come up round to me, maybe an hour had passed, and these two men come up in and introduced themselves. And they said to me, how do you feel? Well, I says, I feel better now than what I did when I come in. How's the pain now? And I said, well, it's healed somewhat. It's bearable now. And all, well, he said, you'll be glad to know you're not going to need an operation. He says you were bleeding internally, but the bleeding has stopped. And you'll not need an operation, and he says you'll probably never need one. And I says, well, thank the Lord for that. And you know, God is able. God's able. Now, there's a lot more things I could say, but I'm not going to say. But I'm grateful for your prayers. I'm glad you prayed. And you know, the Bible says you're to pray for one for an hour. And them things. And you know, God answers prayer. Every time, God answers prayer. And bless the Lord tonight. But I want to try and bring you a wee bit of word. I'm not going to be too long. I'm not going to take up too much of your time tonight. But I want to try and bring you a wee bit of a word tonight from Acts, the book of Acts. And there's a wee bit of it in chapter 3, starting about verse 22 over to chapter 4. Now, there's a wee bit of reading here, so I'm not going to ask you to stand. But we know, as I turn to the Word of God tonight, now you might think it's a wee bit of a strange subject tonight, but nevertheless, the Lord will maybe bring out, by the grace of God, you'll get what I'm trying to say to you. Now, in Acts chapter 3, and in verse 22, and if you read in Acts chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, this is the prophet speaking here, and the servicer where Peter had preached to them, and where he had talked to them what the wicked they had done and what they had done. And in verse 22 says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from amongst the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after as many have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God hath made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And unto you first having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. Mm-hmm. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, and they put them on hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. How about many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men that were about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, and as the high priest and Cleophas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, be it known unto you this day, it says we be examined of the good deed done to this important man, by what means he has made whole. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Now he said, verse 11, this is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And he says, now there is no salvation in any other. It says, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby ye must be saved. Amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his word. Amen. Now, I was in this day and this age, let me say this just quickly. You need to know that the only way you'll overcome in this age is by the word. You can't overcome the enemy by fighting him, or by shooting at him, or by trying to drive over him. You can't drive over Satan, you can't shoot him, you can't kill him. The only way you can defeat him, and the only way you can have victory over him, is through God's word. No. Now, I want to tell you something. You might have realized it, you might not have realized. Now, the enemy doesn't come running in and he doesn't lift this box here and fire it to like a Gary or fire to here or fire to Tommy or fire to John or Aethers. He doesn't come running in and lift this box. He might do, but he doesn't normally work that way. Now, I'll tell you how he works. He works through the word. Is that strange? That's how he came to Jesus. Half scriptures. He quoted half scriptures to him. And he said, it's written. Now, where did you see him with that paper? In the very start in Genesis. Half God said. And God did say. And God said, now the only way you'll overcome them is by the word. And you've got to stick to the word. And if you don't stick to the word, then you can be saved. It said in this last day, that it would be so close to the real thing that it would deceive the very elect. If it was possible, it would deceive them. Now, I looked at the paper the other day, and I was looking at it, and there's a page in it there where there maybe somebody writes a wee bit of a word in. Now, I don't know whether the person's a born-again person or not. It seems like that maybe they might be, I don't know. But they write a wee bit of scripture text in. And they give like a wee word, if you read it, it's like a wee thing sometimes, it's right and good. But you have to be alert to some of the things that's said. Now, one of the things that was said, this here, they were talking about discriminating against people, maybe of different races. And they were saying like, well, we shouldn't discriminate against people. We know that. We know that in our Christian walk of life, that we don't discriminate against people. So if this was taped and somebody would hear it, they would maybe think you were biased towards some races of people. I'm not biased towards anybody. But I want to say this. They said, they quoted certain scriptures and they said that even David himself had blood from them that wasn't Israelites in his veins. Now, that sounded very good. And I think that was it. They said, was it Ruth? Or I think it was Ruth they referred to. And they referred to Ruth, and you know the story of Ruth and Naomi. Now, Ruth wasn't an Israelite. He was from another race. But David did not have no blood in his veins from Ruth. Or he couldn't have had. What do you say, brother? Well, how could it? Because God, whenever God come down in the Garden of Eden, Adam was the creation of God. Adam was the son of God. Not the son that died on the cross, but he was the son of God. And now, and there had to be a blood to contaminate in the human race which comes through the serpent. Now, David was, where was, whenever you take the story in the Bible of Melchizedek, and it says that when Melchizedek met Abraham, he blessed Abraham. And how did Abraham pay tithes in Melchizedek? He paid tithes to him. And it said that Levi paid tithes to him. You following what I'm saying? Because Levi was still in the lines of his father Abraham. Are you following what I'm saying? So Abraham actually was the father of David. And by faith tonight, Abraham is our father. If we are real believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're of the seed of Abraham. And you know, it couldn't be that there someone said that Jesus had Jewish blood. Now he was a rabbi, good enough. But he didn't have Jewish blood, or he didn't have Gentile blood. For God created that blood. And it had to be blood that had no sin. It had to be perfect blood. And there wasn't a man on the earth that wasn't contaminated. So there was no blood of any man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ that could redeem man from sin. So the woman doesn't carry the blood cell. The man carries it. So you see there, that's not what they say, that's not really right. Now here's another one. Just to let you see. I happened to listen to that, what do you call it, that thing on the TV, Trinitarian broadcasting. And there was a lady come on for a few moments and she was speaking on. And she said about the gift of the word of knowledge in the church. And how you may operate the gift of the word of knowledge and how you may learn to use it. Well now, this all sounded interesting. So I listened very carefully. So she said that you might be praying for a person. And you might feel that they have a pain in their back. But you're not really sure. So instead of you saying, if it was Brother Matthew here, or Brother Tommy, or Gary, or some of the brothers, instead of me saying to them, brother, you've got a pain in your back. Maybe if you're praying for them, you could say, have you had a pain in your back? And they say, yes, I've had a pain in my back. Well, she said, there it is. You can operate it. But she said, if it's wrong, just let it alone. You're wrong. But she says you might even have a pain. If you sense that they had a pain, you might take a pain in your own back where they had it. Well, now, that's not the word of knowledge that's contained in the Bible.
Amen.
That's your own imagination. That's your own imagination. That's not a word of knowledge. And don't you ever think for one minute it is. But people go in these places and they sit down and they come out and they think they've got a word of knowledge. I'm not saying that they couldn't get one. They could get one. A genuine enough one. But a lot of stuff is not the real thing. It's only an imitation. It's only an imitation. And there it is. And people go out and they take that stuff on board. And they take what we know in this last day. That God sent a genuine gift of prophecy in the church. And Paul said, if you all speak with tongues and they come in one amongst you and hear everybody speaking in tongues, and there's no interpretation there now, and everybody speaks in tongues and says, aren't they going about and say, are you not mine? When he said him to come in, one and one prophesy, and the secrets of his heart is revealed, then will they not report to you that God is in you in the truth? You know, I want to say this evening from this platform. I don't apologize for sin, and anybody hears the tape, you've heard me saying, I don't apologize for what I'm going to say. I'm going to say it. The ministry of Brother Branham was unique. And there has been nothing on the earth like it since the days of our Lord Jesus Christ on St. Paul. Not a thing like it. Some might have been close to it, but nothing like it. For the simple reason, Brother Branham never said to anybody, have you had a pain in your back? Or is there something wrong? Or it might be. He never said that to nobody. He said, you sir, or you sister, such and such an ailment, and your name is such and such. He didn't have to see was it right or was it wrong. It was thus saith the Lord. So you see where we're at today. And I'll tell you today, don't you think that this thing's there? You have Roman Catholic priests just giving words of knowledge. There's so many things today. You must know the word. You must know God's word so that you can overcome by the word. So you'll not be deceived. You say, what do I do? Read your Bible and pray. That's what I do. You can't do any more than that. You do that. And I believe if we commit ourselves to God every day and read our Bible, then God will help us to keep us from the error that's coming to pass. I tell you, there's bad days coming in this country. There's going to be bad times in this country. And you know, there might come a time when you'll not be allowed this hall. Why must say orders will come? It's quite possible it could come. It's quite possible it'll come in our time. I don't know now. I don't know when it'll come. But I'll tell you it'll come. Because the very system's Antichrist. And the people today don't really know who the Antichrist is. And there's plenty of preachers today, good Pentecostal men, and they still don't know who the Antichrist is. And you know, I talked to a young man 2 or 3 days ago, and I was talking to him, and not name what denomination he went to. I'm not saying any denomination, there's good people, I suppose, and most of these denominations have professed salvation. But this young man wasn't so sure whether the Pope was the Antichrist or not. And I said, you're not so sure. I said, are you reading your Bible? I said, if you read your Bible, you'll find out for sure.
Yes.
Ask the Lord to open your heart. I says, he is, and he is not yet he is. I says, how could that be? It's a succession. And I said to him, I went on farther, and I said to him, in the first church age, in the Ephesians church age, they didn't want the Holy Ghost moving amongst them. They wanted a holy man that could go before God for them, and he would bring them what they would do or what they wouldn't do. So they got away from the Holy Spirit moving. You know, today, where could you go in a church today and the Holy Ghost call out a young man and the elders come and lay their hands on him and a word of prophecy be given to him of what his ministry was going to be or what was going to do? And Paul said to Timothy, do thy work of evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, and don't neglect the gift that is in me, that was given thee by what? By the laying on of hands and prophecy. They couldn't prophesy for they don't believe in it. And you listen to some of the stuff that you hear. And I'll tell you some of the stuff that you hear. You'd be false if you're not hearing it at all. Now I better get on here and say what I'm going to say. For I'm going to talk to you till my time's up. And not really have said anything about what I really want to say to you. But I just wanted to say them things to you. You know, it's so close to the real thing. It's so close. It's that close to the real thing, it even seems realer than what the real thing is. And you know, we read here where Peter was preaching. And you know, it says that when they heard Peter preaching and when they heard these things here, and it says they were, when they heard this here, when they heard Peter preaching and all, they didn't take it well. They didn't like it. But you know, I want to say just very quickly here, I don't want to go too long now, I want to say to you very quickly, I was coming down a lane one day and the field next to me was sheep. And I looked at the sheep. And you know, the Lord took Peter from being a fisherman to make him a shepherd. He took him from fishing. It was a big change now. So it was from fishing to make him a shepherd. But I was looking at the sheep. And I was thinking of whenever I was a young lad, in 16 and 17 and 18, I used to keep sheep. And I used to keep sheep. And I'll tell you this very quickly. Sheep sometimes, they're hard to keep in. And they could get through a hole that a rabbit can get through. Or you may say, I don't think that. Oh, they can, I know from experience. They can get a very small hole they can go through. And now, I don't want to sound sacrilegious, but I want to sort of bring you a wee lesson just if I can. And you know, when I kept the sheep, I liked sheep, but I didn't like them breaking. And I'd be in the field with a billhook and a pitchfork, what you call bird, and stuffing all the holes. And I've seen them spending days in one ditch alone, and a day on an arm, and look right, and I said they're not breaking out for any holes that you could see through, I had them rarely. And we had one ewe. We were called a ewe, or some people call them ewes, but here they were called ewes. And she lined up in the field like in a line, and she charged the heads. And she charged the heads, and she stuck on the heads. And she stuck on the heads, and she couldn't get out of the heads. And I left her in the heads till the evening. And my father says, what about the boy? I said, she tried to get through the heads. Where is she now? I said, she's still in the heads. He says, you need to go and take her out if she'll die. And I says, well, she can stay on it. He says, you better take her out. And he says, I'll tell you what we'll do, we'll hang her. Now, have you ever heard this? I know there's young people in here, and you've never heard tell of langling. And maybe some of you ladies never heard tell of langling, but I'll explain to you what langling was. Mail bags used to come, you used to get the mail in a bag. And instead of being a plastic bag, or a bag like you see now, there were cloth bags. And they were probably about that width, they had a hell of a good 8 stone, 100 weight. They were about that width in the top, and what you done, you took a good sharp knife, or you took a big pair of scissors, and you clipped about that width off along the top, which would give you a long bone about that length. And the way you done, you twisted the bone round and round, till you had a hole at each end. Then you brought the R end up through and it made like a loop. Then you made a loop on the R end. Now when sheep's walking, if a sheep puts this foot, or left foot first, she brings her right foot forward on her back, vice versa. So if you angle the sheep from the left foot front to the right back foot, she still had a way of walking. Though maybe not just as well as she could, but if you angled her on one side, that really hampered her, because she pulled again herself. So then, you angled them and not kept them in the field. Now I'll try and get to we finish here. I want to tell you this, of course. We had an R one and we had langled them, but you can't keep the langles all too long, because they were cut into the legs. But you can keep the you could let the langles stay on her for a week. And you could change the man over to the R side and give her an R week. And sometimes by that time she had saddled herself to stay where she was. She realized she couldn't walk. But sometimes when you pick the langles on them, they'll go walking like this. And the langles didn't seem to make much difference to her. So I got a shovel shaft and I tied it along her horns. And when I tied it along her horns, I tied it on her horns. And that's where
But she was the ringleader. We tied it along her horns. And you know, my father, he said to me one day, I see you have a shovel shaft tied on the youth's horns, I said. I have. He said, you need to take it off for you. Tell her. I said, take it off. I said, you haven't run through any more ditches since Canada. Well, I've been saying she badly took it off, she's only been on her long enough. I had her on her about 3 weeks. And I went out anyway and I rounded them all up into the corner of the field. Whenever I was 18, I could have caught a sheep anywhere. Mother wish in the middle of the field, I'd put them wee bunch, even in the middle of the field, I would have caught her. Didn't matter who they were, I could have caught her like a shot. So I put them all down into the corner of the field, run in and caught her, took a pen knife, cut it off her, and cut it off her. She walked about for 2 days like this. She kept her head back all the time. She kept her head even farther back than what she did when she had the shovel shaft on her. But she still imagined she had the weight on her when she walked about with her head up. But you know, I thought about it. This is a thought that come to me. And I thought about it. And I was thinking where they brought, you know. Just when I thought about this, do you know what I thought about? I thought about this scripture. And I thought about this scripture, it says, while they speak, it says unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. And they being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. And it says that they laid hands on them. It says they laid hands on them and they put them in hold for the next day. For it was now even tight. You know, that's what I thought about. You know, when I thought about this angle and this sheep and this stuff, I thought about this scripture. And you might say to me, boy, in the name of goodness, what has that scripture got to do with you angle and sheep? But I want to say this evening, Satan would like to try to angle you. And he'll not do it by worldly means. He'll do it so-called Christians. And he'll want to put the weight across you that you can't lift your head. And you'll say such a thing, and say, oh, brother, that's not for today. That's passed away. So right away, if you take that aboard, you're lang out. Because if you come before God and need to have faith for something, right away, that's going to crop up in your mind. Yes. And when that crops up in your mind, that's a sort of like a defeat. And you don't need to have any defeat. You need to have your faculties about you. You need to have your spiritual faculties about you. You need to be that you say, I cast down all vain imagination. Hallelujah. You need to be able to say that God's word says, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Not some of the power of the enemy, but all the power of the enemy. God doesn't want us to be lying. But these Sadducees laid hold upon Peter and upon them that were with him, and they put him into jail. Why? Because they preached and they taught in the name of Jesus. Look, when they met the man at the temple, they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Says immediately, his ankles and his legs received strength, and he walked and leaped and praised God into the temple of God. This was the start of this. But they didn't want it, and what did they say? You know what I mean? If somebody said, boy, I was up at that wee meeting, and they prayed for a man that was lame and he couldn't walk. What did he do? He skipped round the building. He was walking. Oh, it might wear off. Turn the langle up. Get the langle all again. Put the weight across the horn. Get it on. Oh, did you not know that was only for the disciples? I didn't know. That's what the woman one time. I told her here before, I'll tell you it again. The minister was there and he was leaving. And she handed up to him. And she handed him a Bible. It was only about a quarter of a Bible that she handed him. So the rest of the pages cut out. When he looked at it, And she said to him, I thought it would be a fitting present for you going away. And he looked at the Bible, oh, she says, you think there's so much missing. She says, it is. She says, every time that you preached when you said it wasn't for today, she says, I cut it out of it. What was the point of having it? She said, it was not for today. She says, I think it would be a fitting tribute for you. Just like the story was told to the lady who was very ill, and the son was sent for. And he had been in the college and he had been learned. Oh, that's not for today. That's not for the day. Don't name that. You don't need to name that. You need to bypass that. You know that there? Oh, you don't need that. You just need to stay with us here and you'll be all right. You need God's word at all. Oh, God. God's word is all proper for direction, doctrine, and reproof and teaching. The whole word. Not some of the word. All of the word. And you know, when he come home, he found his ma well and fit. And she said, you know, somebody come down and they read her that scripture, you know, he shall lay hands. If they drink any deadly thing and they hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he says, you know, Mama, that's not inspired. They told her it's not inspired. Well, she says, that's wonderful, son. She says, how do you make that out? Well, she said, if God did that with something that's not inspired, what can they do with this inspired? You know, loud. They couldn't, they're not free. They're loud. You know, we had the misfortune, or you say, of being at a funeral not so long ago. And you know, there was a fair lot at the funeral. And you know, the singing, wouldn't have heard it under the bow. You know, you couldn't. I am maybe not as loud as you used to. I used to write loud, but maybe not as loud as you used to be. But I couldn't sing. I wouldn't count myself a singer. But I couldn't sing. For the simple reason, if I had a song, I would have heard nobody else. Wouldn't have heard anybody else. You couldn't hear them under a bow. And you know, instead of them being all made up, thought that it had happened. And these men were supposed to be the leaders in Israel. These men were the doctors of the law. These men were the teachers of that day. But you know, Peter told them what they had done, what they had done. Peter said, ye by wicked hands.
Yes.
You struck and you crucified the Prince of Life.
Yes.
And what did he say? He says to them, this is the stone that the builder rejected. It's become the head of the corner.
Amen.
You know, when they studied the scripture, they knew the prophet Isaiah said, behold, I lay in Zion a precious stone, a sure foundation, a tried stone. They'd have knew that. If they had looked in the Psalms, they'd have realized that David said, this is the stone that the builder rejected. They'd have realized that he said that whosoever falls upon this stone shall be broken, but whosoever the stone falls on shall be ground to powder. But they bypassed that. And you know, it said they lay hands on them. And it said the many that believed, the people and all, and they came and the high priest and all and the guard. And when they sat them in the midst of the council, this is verse 7 in chapter 4, in the midst they said, by what power, by what name have ye done this? Peter didn't have any langels on him. They couldn't langel him. It said that Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers and people and elders of Israel. This is what he said to them. He said, if we this day be examined of a good deed done to this important man, by what means he has made whole, be it known unto you all, and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, he says, when he said they had crucified him, stand here before you hold. He said they crucified him, but God raised him from the dead.
Amen.
He's raised tonight. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, a man said to me one time, you can't pray for people to behave. I said, oh, why not? He said, you don't know why it's God's will to heal them. I said, oh, I see it now. And he was all smiles. He started to rub his hands. suppose he said to himself, he's got converted. I said, then you can't pray for people to be saved. Oh, you can, he says. Oh, and I says, how can you? How could you pray for them to be saved if you can't pray for them to be healed? How could you pray for salvation? Oh, but he said it's God's will to save them. I says, aye. Whenever he died on the cross, I says, he paid the price for salvation. He paid the price for healing. I says, he didn't bring a half salvation. He
Amen.
Brought a full salvation.
Amen.
Full salvation, full and free.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Free tonight. Come without money.
Amen.
I'll clean up and then I'll come. No, he didn't ask you to clean up. Amen. I'll try and do better and then I'll come. No, you'll not. That's not the invitation. Boys, it's some invitation.
Right.
It's a great invitation.
Yes.
Come as you are.
Yes.
Amen.
By the hymn writer had it right, didn't he? When he sung the wee words, just as I am on earth at one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, Lord, I come to thee. Boy, I tell you, there it is. You know, it's like I said one time, it's like the honey in the rock. You know, Brother Brown preached one time and he preached about it. He said the sheep would take something out there, but limestone would cure it. But you couldn't get sheep for the lick limestone, but the lick honey. And what they done, they took a stick and they smeared the honey on the limestone rock. And they licked the honey. And when they licked the honey off the limestone rock, they got the limestone. Hallelujah! The psalmist said it tastes like honey in the rock. Hallelujah! You know, whenever Jonathan was following with Saul, and Saul made the thing that they couldn't eat any meat or anything, Jonathan wasn't there when he said it. And every man was faint because they were hungry. And when Jonathan was going through the woodlands, he saw the wild honey, and the honey hit the bees at the end. And he took a stick and he dipped it in the end of it and he ate. And he said when he did eat, his strength come to him and his eyes were open. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Come by milk and honey.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Doesn't cost anything, it's free tonight.
Amen.
Whosoever will, who can come? Whosoever will can come.
Amen.
Oh, you say, I'm not good enough. Well, I tell you, he'll have you.
Amen.
You know, someone said one time, I think it was Nicholson that was preaching in some hall about the Belfast somewhere. Might have been about, the Ravenhill Road or somewhere he was preaching. And there were stone pillars at the gates. And some wee man come out of a house. And he heard the band, the Salvation Army band was playing at the meeting. And they marched down the road to the meeting and the wee band in front of them playing the hymns or whatever they were playing. And he came out of the house and he didn't know what's going on. And he said to somebody, what's happening? Is it a party? And they said, aye, come on ahead. So he closed the door, went back and closed the door and put the key in his pocket and followed them down the road. And when they were going in through the gates, they went in through the gates with such force, they knocked the pillars over. And there they got in, there was no place. The only place he could get was up in the balcony. And he got up in the balcony. And Nicholson preached that night, and when he preached that night, he gave a call if anybody wanted to accept the Lord Jesus Christ to start up on their feet. And it said that wee man stood up, and he said, I'll take him if he'll take me. And Nicholson said, he'll take you as you are. And he started, and they said it was like confetti for him. He was a bookies runner. And he threw all the batting ducats out of his pocket and said they come down right over the balcony like confetti. God saved him.
Amen.
Where he was.
Amen.
God saves you where you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know the writer said, he said, he is the Lord. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that saveth thee. He's still in the business of saving tonight. God doesn't condemn you. The devil will condemn you every time. Say, oh, you can't come. You know what our great cry of the devil's? You're too young. You have to enjoy yourself. At what? At something that makes you miserable? At drugs that'll take your life if you participate in them? At smoking that someday might give you cancer? At what? A drinking that someday might make you an alcoholic that you'll not be able to get over it. and die before your time. But what? The pleasures of this world, they're nothing. There's only one life. Only one life. You know what that life is? That life's in Christ. You know what he said? He said in John, he had half the Son, half life. And he had half not the Son, half the life. It's life. Don't let them langle you. Why, they'd be quick to put the langle on you. Don't let them keep yourself right. Keep yourself pure before God. If you've done something you shouldn't do, go before God. You don't have to come to me or anybody in here.
Amen.
The place you go before him.
Amen. It's
his blood that was shed for you. Not anymore. Him, you go before him. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says we have an advocate with him. Jesus Christ the righteous. And if you go before him, it says that there is blood. There's blood there. Brother Branham said this is a great truth. He said, always remember the blood lays there for you. You can come to him. You can lay down your problems before him. You confess your faults before him. Not only your faults, but your sins. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, I think it's in Timothy, it said, this is a faithful saying, unworthy of all expectation. Jesus Christ died for sinners. What did he say to them when he came? He says, I didn't come to call the righteous. What did he say? I come to heal him that was sick. And the disciple, the Pharisee said, he said, are we blind also? Whenever he opened the blind man's eyes, he said, are we blind also? He says, if you had it been now, you could see. But they were blind spiritually. Don't you let them langle you. It was to keep them in the one place, to langle them. And that's what was necessary. You know, when I thought about it, I said, is that like the, not like the day? Oh, this is not for the day. Oh, that's not for the day. Oh, that cast away with the disciples. Or this stop. Not quit. It's not anymore. But you know the day. I said to that young man the other day, I said the government's an antichrist government. Now I'm not going to go down the road tonight, but you see, Heman ended up on his own gallows. On a sea lion, that he made it. See, he made it. And that made it. You know, Churchill knew there was going to be a Second World War. You know how he knew? He's reading about what took place before the Battle of the Vine and stuff like that. And he knew there was going to be a repeat of history. And it was the Dukes of Mulbar that brought King William to Langholm. You know, the Duke of Mulbar at one time, I think he was a Catholic. But he went over from James to King William when he came. And out there, and they knew there was going to repeat a history. And you see, the day they've done a program about the Troubles, they're rewriting history. Rewrite history to suit themselves. You know, the day they see, pass the laws that they pass now, them laws are contrary to the Bible. They're not biblical. You know, they want to do them things. You know, Jeremiah, you know, whenever they were carried away to Babylon, there was a certain remnant of Jews left in Israel.
Yes.
And Jeremiah, the prophet, was left in Israel. And you know, a group of these Jews got together and they were feared for their lives. And they were thinking maybe they would go down to stay in Egypt. And they went down to Jeremiah and they said to Jeremiah, will you go before the Lord for us? Will you go seek the Lord and get a word for us? And Jeremiah, I think it was 10 days that he spent seeking the Lord. And he come back with a word for them. And he come back with a word for them. And he said, do not go down into Egypt. For the sword will follow you and you shall perish down there and you'll die down there. You know, they had told Jeremiah. Jeremiah gave them the whole word that the Lord had given. Telling them what to do and what they'll do. And to stay in their own country and they'd flourish. And God would make them pick a root downward and they'd prosper. But they wanted God, but they didn't heed. They told Jeremiah they didn't believe him. Do you know what they said to Jeremiah? They said, when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven, all our crops and all gone away. And all went well with us. But we'll go down to Egypt. And they went down to Egypt to mutter about the word that Jeremiah had given them. They disobeyed the Lord and went down. And Egypt speaks of sin and death and degradation. Canaan, Zion, speaks of life and plenty. But they done the opposite from what they were asked to do. And they didn't obey the word of the Lord. You know, I'm going to say something tonight, they have sowed to the wind.
Yes.
And they'll reap the whirlwind. This company has done it. I sit in the house one morning and God gave me the scripture in Isaiah. It's chapter 3, and I think verse 12. Children are the oppressors. A younger, not maybe less, you just run around half the world to talk about global warming.
Yes.
Global warming's a myth. I'm going to tell you something. Do you know why it is warming the way it is? The earth's going to burn. You see, people are, you know, I don't know. Whenever you're bringing up children, you have to warn them about the fire, and you have to warn them because they don't know. And look at those people they are. They fly out over the top of a volcano to land on an island where there's a wee volcano. Why would you go out to where there's a wee volcano? Why would you do it? Just like Tommy was teaching this morning about when they threw Daniel into the lions. Them lions, you know, the lions then wasn't like the picture, you see. You can imagine the stink that was in that lion's den. The stench that was in it. The dirt that was in it. And he was threw in amongst them lions. And you imagine them lions only maybe got a bit of meat once a week. But God sent his angel down and closed their mouth.
Amen.
And look what did happen when they threw in the men that threw them in. Look what happened when they threw their households in and their wives and their children. What happened to them? They barely had touched the bottom and the lions had them tore to bits. See where they're at. Disobey God's word, reap the whirlwind. I tell you, this country's heading for judgment. I said that and I'm going to say it again. The only hope for this country is the coming of the Lord. The gun will not save this country.
Amen.
You can't fight Satan with, like I said, with guns and guns. No. You don't need a gun to save this country.
Amen.
You need men and women that will pray.
Amen.
Men and women that will walk right before the Lord and let their light shine so that everybody else can see it. That's what we need. We need people that are seeking the Lord and following after the things of God. You know, the day you go down into some of these churches today, if you stand up in some of these churches today, now I better come to quit. I doubt I've went on too long now. It's coming up. It's coming 5 o'clock now. I'm going to quit. So, if you go down into some of these places today, and you stand up, and you say that God has sent a prophet in this last day, and you start to give them the scriptures and explain to them about the prophet from the Bible, and I'll tell you something, you've not been back. They'll not ask you back. You know what they'll say? They'll say them people belong to the cult. That's what they'll tell you. Now you know, whenever Paul was before him, he said, we found this Paul to be a pestilence fella, a disturber of the peace. And he says, far better than that, he's a ringleader of that sect that they call the Nazarene. He's a ringleader in it. What did Paul say when he was admonishing Timothy on encouragement? He said, I have run the race, I have fought the good fight. He said, there's laid henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown. And he said, not only for me, but for everyone that will run in this race and not turn back. There's a crown waiting. There's a crowning day coming when we'll crown the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You said they sat down and sat there. You know, I was talking to some people the other day. I happened to be talking to them. And you know, when they sang, they see, they don't realize that they're under room in the common market. Didn't have caught that on, you see, that they were under room. But it was known as the Treaty of Rome, 1957, when they found it on the Capitoline Hill. the men from the different countries that there and was there. Do you know what they shake hands with one another? And they congratulated one another. You know what they said to one another? We have just resurrected the old Roman Empire without firing shot. That's what they said. And they flew their occult flag. Their occult flag, the Antichrist system. There it was. This is the Antichrist system. Antichrist. Antichrist. You know, how could Martin Luther, be so wrong? He couldn't have been. He spent his life, his whole life, doing the best that he could do. And yet, all, he had no peace. But once he acknowledged the truth, that peace came into his heart. And he knew that he was regenerated by the Spirit of God. What did he say about the Pope? He said, he is none other than the man of sin. Now, we watched the bio not so long ago, and there was an old man interviewing him. And he was telling about how the Lord had saved him, how great the things the Lord was doing with him. And he said he was working against the working greatly with the charismatic movement, for he said the Lord prayed the prayer that we all might be one. But when the Lord prayed the prayer that they all might be one, he wasn't meaning that we should be one with a false church. Not at all. He was meaning that we all should be one here. Every assembly sovereign. He prayed the prayer that we all might be one. That we all might be working together for the good of the kingdom of God and for to help one another. Not to team up with something that's not right. The farther they got away from the disciples, the farther they got out, they got into the dark ages. And when they got into the dark ages, they almost lost the truth. And when the angel come down and brought around in service and drew out, he didn't draw any light at all in the last age. Brother Brown put that beside him. The angel didn't do it. He drew it black, dark. You see where they're at. They're at the end time. Don't let them lie on you. And you know, just quickly, just give me a couple of minutes quickly here. And you know, what they've done now, they didn't just put a wee touch on them here, because it's over, and it says, you know, it's if you went over into chapter, I think it's chapter 5, and if you go over there till about verse 31, and where this is what he said, what Peter said, and Peter, and the verse 29, and the apostle answered and said, well, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on the tree. Him God hath exalted with their right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And it says, we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him.
Amen.
See, then if you will jump on over a wee bit farther to verse 40, and it says now, in verse 40, it says, and it says, unto him they agreed. This was Gamaliel said, be careful what you do to these men. And then he said, unto him they agreed, and when they agreed, and when they have called the apostles and beaten them. Now you can be sure they just didn't hit them wee cup around the ear. They beat them. And it says, in beating them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the prince and rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name. Now, you, when they don't use the name, come to the end of their service and say, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. They don't use the name. Well, the song said, take the name of Jesus with you everywhere you go.
Amen.
It will joy and comfort give you. Take the name of Jesus with you. I remember coming home one time. Mm-hmm. Things weren't going great. Hadn't much money. Hadn't much of anything at the time. I was driving a Land Rover. And the wireless never worked on it. All I'd ever done was turn it off. That's all I'd ever done. I don't know why it was made to do that or not. That's all I'd ever done. I was coming along the road, you know, and I felt real down. I sort of felt. I'm not going to use the word that I have felt. I'm not going to confess to that. But I felt down on it. And I decided I would turn on the wireless. And I turned it on. And there's a man singing, "I take the name of Jesus with you everywhere you go." When he finished the song, the wireless gone. You know something. Boy, that lifted me. I sung it the rest of the road home. "Take the name of Jesus with you everywhere you go. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it everywhere you go." Praise the Lord. I'm sorry now if I've kept you too long. Listen, it's coming. What? I doubt I've made a mistake. Oh, it's coming. I think I'm right in saying it's coming 5:00. Now, I'm not going to keep you any longer. Gary, could we sing that song? "The Comforter Has Come."
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise His name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Maybe you're sitting in this service tonight. There's not maybe about it. You are. You're sitting in this service tonight. Hallelujah. And the enemy has told you you can't pray. But I want to tell you tonight you can pray. You can pray. You don't have to pray a long prayer. You don't have to pray a whole lot of words. There's only one prayer that you need to pray. You say, Lord, help me. And give me guidance. I ask it in Jesus' name. That's your prayer. That's the prayer you need to pray. Nothing else. Just that. And you rest on it. And God will do the rest for you. You believe the Lord tonight. Believe God and God will do it for you. You know, the Bible says he's near to all that call upon him.
Yes, hallelujah.
You know, it said in him we live and him we move and him we have our being.
Yes,
you can do that tonight.
Jesus.
May God bless you. Father God, touch thy people tonight. Hear and answer prayers tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh God, bless every person in this house tonight. Bless Gary, Lord, as he prayed. Bless his family, Lord. Bless his wife. Bless every brother and sister tonight. Lord, maybe not name all names tonight, but Lord, bless. Bless Alva as she prays. Oh God, meet her every need. Lord, even the things she's praying for, meet them, Lord. Father, bless Mark too. Bless everyone. Bless Jeff. Bless John. Bless Andrews. Bless. Oh God, maybe not naming names, but Lord, you know tonight. Bless every person in this house tonight. Lord, from the very youngest person to the oldest person in this house tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we commit ourselves to thee. And Lord, we know that you're the supplier of all needs. And oh God, we acknowledge thee tonight. We say, Lord Jesus, come and have thy way in our hearts. Lord, we know we're not worthy then. There's none of us worthy. But Lord, you paid the price for us. Oh God, it says you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And by your stripes, Lord, we were healed. Father, we confess it tonight. We believe it tonight. Bless thy people tonight. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Anyway, let's stand our feet. Just a couple of announcements and our brother Gary's going to come and sing. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. Don't forget a Wednesday night prayer and Bible study as normal. And then Saturday night, 7 o'clock, the Vanville. And all that's coming, come along. And we're looking forward to a great time. And the Lord then Sunday, it's normal. Then the following Wednesday, we won't be having a service. I think it's Christmas, is that right, boys? Praise God. And then I'm thinking, you know, the week after that, for the New Year's Tuesday night, isn't that right? Maybe we can have a service on a Tuesday night instead of a Wednesday night. And we'll not try and go to midnight or anything like that, but if it goes on for enough, just start at the normal time, bring a testimony and a song. Maybe we'll have a cup of tea as well. Who would like that? That's the Tuesday night for the new year coming in, and I thought maybe we should do that, praise God. And you know, as my dad was preaching, I have to tell you this, then go sit down, Gary's going to come. But my Hannah likes sheep, and there's a few people I know keep sheep. But I was working with this fella, and he bred a champion, Tips, that's the male sheep. And this Tip he had snow, even still, though this was a few years ago. This sheep was worth big money. They call this man's name Harry. And his son started the sheep. And when his son got the sheep, there's a boy said to him, and I had said this to Harry as well. I said, you'll never, you're hard to keep in the break out. And he says, yes, the man told his son that. And there was an old fella standing by the side. And he come over to him and he says, son, I'll tell you what you do with your sheep and they'll never break out. And it was simple. And Harry said his young fella's sheep never ever broke once. Not once. He never had to go and get them out of another field once. Do you know what he done with them? He moved them off them. The old boy said to him, don't put them in the same field twice. And every time you go to look at them, move them. Move them to fresh grass. Don't keep them too long.
in the one field. And God's people need the fresh word, don't they?
Amen.
Fresh all the time from God. And I believe the Lord's given us fresh tonight. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Child of sorrow, but you know, the Bible says that Jesus.